Thank you, Priscilla and praise team. I don't know that we need a message. I actually think that song, that's a message. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are striving to be an authentic expression of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, this is your community, OC Grace First Service. And to be honest, we've had some shocks to our system lately. And maybe we're questioning about who we are and where we go from here. But we know that you are the imparter of all wisdom. And we look to you for guidance today, tomorrow, as we go forward. And we look to touch other people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, I'm Joe. Some of you may not know that, so I figured I should say my name, but fortunately, some of you do. So I'm here to share my thoughts about where First Service is, where it's going, and what it means to me. Then I'm going to invite some members of the leadership team up to give their perspective. I want you to know I really appreciate all of their hard work, all the things they do behind the scenes for us every single day. So from the time I first came here and told my family we aren't volunteering for anything, I certainly didn't expect to be standing up here, right now. God has a funny sense of humor. First, I'd like to say, Tony Werfel is my friend. I'm forever grateful that he listened when I needed someone to listen. When I had no interest in being a part of church, Tony's made a difference in my life. I felt like I was just starting to get to know Danielle, but Charles had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with her, and I'm really happy about that. It's tough to be a pastor's wife. Everybody expects you to be perfect, to be able to give advice about everything, all the while you're expected to be an exceptional mother, wife, professional, and on and on. The thing about Danielle is that when she smiles, it lights up a room, and you know it comes straight from the heart. It's been a privilege to watch the kids grow. Kaysen wasn't much more than a toddler when we first came here, and now he's a growing boy, and every time he does something, I turn around, and Tony's doing the exact same thing. He's becoming an amazing young man. And Ashlyn, courageous, lion-hearted. It's not that she doesn't have fear, it's that she doesn't let fear hold her back. I know that no matter what Tony and the Werfels do, that they will impact hundreds of people in the future, just like they have done for us right here. I appreciate their courage, transparency, and honesty, and I believe that God will reward them with all of their heart's desires and more. But where does that leave us? Where does that leave me? Who are we as a community, and do I fit here? It's easy to cast blame, to point fingers. It's Pastor Tony's fault. It's Pastor Dan's. No, it's the people downstairs. No, it's us up here. It's about theology, it's about money, it's about power and control. What it really is sad and painful and confusing for me too. About a dozen years ago, my oldest friend was in an auto accident. He was hit by an uninsured motorist and he was in a coma for 4 months. They said he would never regain full consciousness, but he did. They said he would never walk again, but he did. He defied the odds with his recovery. People who weren't closely involved said that it was a miracle and it was a sign of God's blessings. And I guess that's true. But what's also true is he has a permanent brain injury. He struggles with decision-making, emotional control, memory loss. He can't work. He can't drive. Can't engage in his passion of automotive design. And his mental issues cost him his business, his marriage, and his relationship with his wife and daughter. He's 50 years old, broke, alone, and frustrated that his life is functionally over because a brain injury isn't like losing a leg. When he and I talk, I remind him how important he is, how inspirational he is, how he helps people just by living, but he struggles to see it. Instead, he sees only the lost potential and the wasted years. I'm sure I'd feel the same way in his shoes. I bring this up simply to say that life is a mystery. We don't know why things happen the way they do, but sometimes it just sucks. But perhaps true courage and true faith is only evident when there seems to be no way forward and we feel the most vulnerable. Perhaps faith and courage don't manifest when we proudly declare them to the world, but rather in the still moments, in the days and weeks and months that follow when we have to make these same decisions over and over again, all by ourselves. So who are we? We are the people striving to be an authentic expression of the kingdom of God. Boy, that sounds good. Rolls off the tongue. It's easy to say when things are going smooth. When things at church are well, everyone's basking in success, and the seats are full. Not so much when things are ugly. Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Or maybe kicked in the private parts. When you're lying curled up in a ball with tears running down your cheeks, snot out your nose, dry heaving because there's nothing left to throw up, it's kind of hard to say with a smile, I'm an authentic expression of the kingdom of heaven. And maybe we feel that kind of hurt today. And yet, I came to this community because even though I said I wasn't looking, I was looking. I wanted a place where I fit. And I didn't seem to fit in other places. I didn't fit in that Adventist church of my past. Our last church experience ended badly. I tried going to non-SDA churches, but that wasn't quite right either. It's not that I minded worshiping with them or that it was wrong to praise God on a different day, but it didn't feel quite right to switch my day of worship. It was like a jacket that didn't fit or a pebble in my shoe. I was a misfit. But it did feel right being with this community. I do fit here. The thing is, other people are misfits too. And maybe they need a place like this and someone like you to welcome them in. This community that is First Service has value. We make a difference for others. We aren't perfect, not by a long shot. But we're a place where people who are wrestling with ideas can express them and be welcomed. And if we really are a community, then it's individuals who make the difference and not just the leader. It's you and I who are striving to be that authentic expression of the kingdom of heaven and not just a pastor saying it from the pulpit. It's you and I who are the ones who make a difference for the next misfit that's looking for a place to belong. Probably most of you in the room and those watching online are wondering if you fit here anymore. I get it. I hope you keep searching for your truth. Some of you may go away, and we support you on your journey. But if you find, like I did, that those other places didn't work either, you can come back. The community of First Service loves you. First Service won't judge you. This family will be excited to see you again, and you are always welcome home. The last 2 weeks have been tough, and we'll have tough weeks in the future. I don't plan to spend it finding blame because I'm not blameless. What I do know is I still believe in the text that Charlotte and I had inscribed on our wedding rings. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Thanks for allowing me to share with you. I'd like to invite Paula, Nathan, and Tyler up here as they have some thoughts they'd like to share with you also.
I don't know. Should I stand?
Sit?
I do me. Lay down. Yep, I'm standing. No.
It's all good.
So, great. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If there ever was a Bible nugget to champion, that one would be mine. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can probably relate to a select few of in here who grew up in a blended worship service. We had worship songs on the guitar, sometimes rocking in the youth room to our own beat while the church was going on. On one hand, we had Pathfinder adventures. And on the other hand, we would go to Christian rock concerts. And we were progressively growing in lifestyle, but in the context of cool Christian boundaries. We were mainstream as the cool, young, hip California Adventists, or at least that's what I wanted to be. So this paradigm that I was in was my optimistic bubble. No huge pains, no worries, maybe a little judgy, but I didn't mean it on purpose. I didn't feel repressed per se. And hey, Jesus was my bud. So as I started moving through my life journey, and especially after college, I started to date a girl with a child. And I shocked my family and friends, my community. And it felt like people were judging me. And afterwards, a few were definitely judging me. What was this atrocity I was committing? Don't you know she isn't pure anymore? Don't you know what kind of trouble you're setting your life up for? The black and white, as cool as I thought my black and white was mixed into this goopy gray. And suddenly I was on the other side of the judgment stick. The world wasn't optimistic. I was a misfit. The experience changed my life and opened up my heart to real questions. What do you do when you realize that good people have bad things happen to them? If God is in control, why doesn't he come fix it? Why do Christians, including myself, spit out dogma about the will of God? Oh, it's God's will. Well, is it? Where is God in your day-to-day life? Is it just an emotional experience that you make up? What do you do with premarital sex? Why is it so important to save your virginity for marriage? What do you do with homosexuality in the church? Doesn't God love everybody? And finally, why in the world do we take these ancient, inconsistent words? And I was a religion theology major, and I studied this, and you could see all the inconsistencies in the Bible. And we take it as gospel truth and pick and choose and then call it the word of God. These questions, combined with no place to discuss them, haunted me to the point of apathy. I stopped playing the guitar, except when I needed to. And I didn't really care like I used to in my youth because I was a misfit. I joined this community nearly 3 years ago, and I still remember how skeptical when I was after going. Church was still ingrained in me, and I knew I needed to find a place that I could at least call home in Orange County. And at least this place had a nice soundboard. So I said, hey, why not? So when I first met Tony, I thought he was a hipster with cool shoes, jeans, and odd jacket. Yeah, he was. Attendance was okay, but there was a decent soundboard. Good. I'll give it a go. And as I got to know this community and got involved in making things function, healing has come to me. My soul has found new life again, and I am happy. This community's life is life-bringing because we move forward from, and I quote, the worn-out, itchy ways. And step into the new. I'm learning to love and fully accept the people around me, full stop. I'm less interested in their behavior or lifestyle, and I'm more interested in their well-being. And as someone who has a natural lack of empathy, this is a huge step in a positive direction. And I honestly don't know how my naturally empathetic wife puts up with me. The heart of first service to me is bringing life and growth in all that we do. We were made to move forward in absolute joy. We were made to rejoice. And I'm personally committed to doing all of that with you guys.
So first off, I honestly shouldn't be here. And I don't mean here in this stage. I mean here in this church and as part of a leadership team of any kind of service. Now, it's not that I don't have some credentials. I mean, I am a third generation Seventh-day Adventist. My parents were pastors for a time, and I grew up in a very conservative church where early on I was, the Word of God was hammered into my brain, as well as the belief that a good Adventist is an Adventist who's doing something for the Lord. So, and you know what? I actually really loved it. My memories of my childhood church are very warm and very fond because early on, I learned the joy of serving God and of being part of a warm community. And, you know, everything was amazing and great. So this hasn't changed. What changed over the years, however, was my perception of church. My parents, you guys may know them. They're sitting right here, and my mom sometimes makes you guys scrambled eggs. So my parents, they were church leaders as I was growing up. And, you know, they were often labeled as dissenters, misfits, and troublemakers. So very often we ended up moving from church to church when the politics of a church or, like, petty rivalries came up. We just decided to withdraw quietly and look for another place where we could serve God free of whatever. One time I do remember, we had been in this church for about 2 years. My parents were pastoring, and we were actually voted off the church. Like, we're seriously, like, kicked out of church. And as you can imagine, needless to say, I actually have a lot of reasons to not be part of a church community, of any church community, because I had many reasons, or so I thought. So fast forward a few years later, I'm still in church because, you know, church is church, and my mother wouldn't let me not go to church. And I also was involved in church. So I was down the street at a Starbucks sitting in front of my new pastor. And we're actually, I didn't really trust him yet, and we're just going to talk about the newest sermon series video. And instead, what ended up happening was we both ended up teary-eyed and emotional as we drank our chai tea and hot cocoa. And because we had been sharing our story, and we were grappling a little bit with the baggage of our past. And I'll never forget what Tony said to me then and there. It was, you know, all these grudges, this bitterness and this anger, they will turn your passion into poison if you let it be like that. And as I reflected later on, I realized how right it was, what he has said. It was true. Luke 10:38 talks about these two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, both of them, they invited Jesus into their home. And Martha, she was, like, so overwhelmed with, like, what she had to do. Like, she had to go to the kitchen and make all these tacos. While Mary, she sat down at Jesus' feet, and she listened to what he had to say, enraptured, just amazed. Now, Martha, she was like, Jesus, can't you, like, see that my sister's not pulling her fair share of the labor? Like, come on, like, say something to her. And Jesus, with all the love in his heart, says to her, Martha, Martha, you are so troubled over so many things, and yet there's only one thing that you need. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. And when I looked into myself, I realized how far I had gotten from the heart of God and the heart of service. I had lost track of what all of this is about. I had lost the joy of service, the joy of community, because I had gotten away from God. So as I spent, as I reviewed my heart and just continued to be here and to grow and to just give more of myself and to give more to Jesus and I refocused my life, and I realized that in here, I actually had found what I had been searching for so many years. What I experienced in this community helped me gain again once more what I had lost. Once more, I found joy in coming to church and joy in worship. I let go of my baggage, and I found acceptance and forgiveness in my Heavenly Father, something I thought I had lost forever. Now, given my story, the biggest miracle is that I am here talking to you guys, that I am a proud Adventist and one who is involved in leadership, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. First, I attribute this to God, who held me steady when I stumbled and when I questioned and when I doubted. And believe me, I did doubt many times. And second, I attribute this to this church, its members, its leadership. You see, when we came here about 7 years ago, my parents, my sister and me, we found a place that, you know, there was no first service. There was no the sanctuary service. There was no young adult pastor, no youth pastor. There wasn't even a consolidated young adult ministry. There was just a Sabbath school. But even then, in those earlier days, we could already feel it. There was something special about this place. And here, we stayed. And let me tell you, this is the longest place we've ever been in, ever. Like, seriously, it's, what, 7 years? So I know. So in these 7 years, I have seen this church, this service, this community grow and change and morph. We've had our ups and downs, believe me, and I have seen it. But I have also seen the hand of God guiding us through every step of the way. That is why I have the confidence that despite whatever difficulties we face, we're going to be all right. This is not just a once-a-week production. If you choose to be open, to be authentic, and to give up yourself, and, you know, to stay, you will find that this is a family, a community, and a place where you can make a difference. None of us are perfect, but that's all right. We can still draw closer to God despite our differences, our questions, and our imperfections. Who knows? You maybe find some healing here, too. And maybe you, too, like I, will find that this is it. This is home. Thank you.
You guys mind if I don't stand up?
You do you.
I do me. I'm not going to lie, the last 2 weeks have been exceptionally difficult for me. Before I begin, I want to say something else, that nobody on this stage are originals of First Service. All of us are misfits that got transplanted into this service and called it home. This service has been before any of us. It was a year before I came on, 4 years ago. And for me, it's been a joy and an honor to be able to lead worship with you guys and to help build the community with Tony and the lead team. Our lives changed dramatically when Paula came on board, got us all the graphics and everything right there. The intro videos, all of that stuff. This is Paula's baby, and she's been knocking out of the park and just amazing. Tyler, I can't even tell you how much our lives changed. We went, like, literally, I think we went from, like, the 70 people to pushing the 100, 150 just because of the sound people running the board who knew what they were doing and making it sound impeccable. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. Joe, too. We're turning corners. We're turning corners, and things are looking up for us. But I do want to acknowledge you guys and the work that you do and the effort as lead team in planning the services and building the community, and the prayer and sweat and dedication you guys have is amazing. For me, I'm going to make this super quick. I'm a PK, right? My dad's a pastor. We travel all around. I've been everywhere. I grew up knowing Bible knowledge, all of that stuff. Good, good Adventist kid. Grandma loved me. Right? But I'll tell you, my life got rocked a little bit in my 20s. I was married. I got divorced. And I will say that the next couple of years of my life were very rocky. And I've been leading worship for, you know, since high school, right? It's been a part of my life. And it's been a growing process, going from just playing chords and singing lyrics and stuff like that to actually getting into the heart of worship. But when that separation happened and I had nothing and I moved away and started over, I relied on God more than anything else in my life. And eventually I got back into leading worship. I was, you know, a worship leader at the La Sierra University Church. I'd play down in San Diego still every now and then. I'd come and play for the first service here intermittently. But I would say, I was just skipping ahead. It probably wasn't until Pastor Tony came along and started building the community at First Service that I really, truly felt like I was able to be myself. There's something about this community here, something about what we were growing as lead team, something about what God was doing in our lives personally and as a community here, that allowed the space, allowed the freedom to think and to ask and to be ourselves wholeheartedly. We weren't trying to change each other. We weren't trying to be perfect images of the perfect church community. We were here, we were real, and we got to be upset. We got to be mad. We got to cry. We got to pray together. We got to be this community that didn't seek perfection. We sought Jesus. Amen. And we sought maturity for ourselves and for each other. And that's one of the things that I think is so impactful about this community, is that we're not trying to change each other. We're human beings that come together under a common thread of Jesus. And we let that in our community and our support of everyone and wherever they're at to be the thing that changes each other. And that community is something that I'm proud to call home.
You see how they all abandoned me suddenly? They all have moral support, and then, okay. Oh. Guys, what a community. So, as you can see, I think a lot of people are questioning, you know, how do I fit into communities in general? A lot of us are a little bit more bizarre than other people. Some of us think, oh, I fit in, I'm totally cool, but let's be real, you're weird. You're just weird. I mean, did you see who was on stage just now? Strange folk. Do you see who's in the praise and worship team? Strange folk. Everyone has quirks. Everyone's strange. Everyone's a little bit of a misfit. And that's what's beautiful. When we all try to be exactly the same, it gets really boring. And honestly, I don't want to be part of that. Because I did grow up understanding all the rules and the right things to say and everything I was supposed to look like and be. And that got really taxing and exhausting. I was talking to my friend about obviously what we're going to talk about today, and I was like, wouldn't it be cool if the Bible just had a Bible verse that talked about, like, misfits? And then he sent me, he's like, well, in the Message version, ta-da, here it is. It says, we're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties. You might be well thought of by others, but we're mostly kicked around. Much of the time, we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces, and we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. When they call us names, we say, God bless you. When they spread rumors about us, we put in a good word for them. Retreated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen, and it's just not getting any better. In the NIV version, it says, instead of it's not getting any better, it says, right up to this point. And I find this very interesting because, you see, I think a lot of us face life and we realize that everything up to that point gets a little overwhelming, right? You're always in this moment, it's like, everything's the worst, right? Like, maybe it wasn't a week ago, but we're in the worst right now, so we're emotionally deteriorating. And so from that point back, everything is the worst. And like a lot of people that were on this stage, I was a missionary's kid and a pastor's kid. I grew up as in the system as you can possibly get. My parents work at the General Conference. My dad just transferred from the General Conference to work as a pastor again. Like, my family is a system family. We have been here for all eternity, and we are in the inner workings of it. And I've seen it. I've seen it all, joy, despair. I've seen politics. I've seen a lot of weirdness. And there are things in that that make me sometimes think like, oh, no, need to run the other direction. But the reality is that's my culture. This is where I'm coming from. I may not be able to identify where I'm from because I grew up in Africa, Russia, France. I'm Puerto Rican and Canadian slash from the U.S. You know, like, it's a weird thing to explain. But reality is that my culture, a lot of it is here. Church, Adventism, Christianity. I've always struggled a little bit because I naturally don't fit into molds that people have created for me. I'll just use 1 year and a half moment of my life as a very telling moment. When I was in seminary, I encountered a lot of interesting things. You see, I went to seminary after having worked. I had already been a pastor once. I had gone into chaplaincy. I had already worked in the biotech field, so I had hit like every degree I could possibly hit. And I get to seminary, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm back in school. So I roll into seminary like a teeny bopper rolling into college, right? I was wearing my like ripped jeans, and I had like a tank top on. I'm pretty sure I forgot to remove some jewelry. Slash, I know I did. And I was walking through, and I remember people would just follow me. And they were like, and one of my friends, he actually said that he would follow me around just to hear the murmurings as I walked through the building. Whereas me, I didn't even notice things were weird. I was just like, la, 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 going to Greek, it's going to be great. You know, like, and I was just doing my thing. But people were following behind me, trying to figure out what kind of chaotic evil was coming into the seminary building. There were groups forming to get me kicked out. It was hilarious. And I didn't understand it at first. Like, I got called into the dean's office, and they're like, oh, we have a couple things to talk to you about. And I was like, okay. And they're like, so we hear that you hate God. And I was like, okay, because I'm going to spend tons of money to come and hate God here publicly. It's so important. And as time goes on, I start realizing these weirder and weirder situations happen. And I could go on for probably 2 hours of creepy and strange seminary stories. But there is this one story that actually hit me really hard. And it's a story where I was walking. It was like an evening class. I was walking out, and this group of guys who had been hanging out at the doors of all of my classes began to follow me. They followed me, and they pretty much cornered me. And they were like, we need to pray for you. And I was like, okay, I'm not against prayer. So I'm like, sure, what are we praying about? And they're like, we believe there are demons in you. And I was like, okay. And so, like, my mature side, of course, is like, okay, how am I going to reenact this? This is going to be great. And then I realized, like, egging that situation on may not be the best idea, right? Because I think they're serious. I think they really think demons are in me. And I was like, okay, so what demons? What demons are in me? Because now I'm, like, trying to, like, listen and nurture, right? And they're like, the demons of jewelry, the demons of caffeine, the demons of it. And I'm like, oh, man, I do have a lot of demons in me. Get them out, get them out. And they begin to surround me, and they had their hands on me, like, not naturally either, like, on me. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, what is it happening? And they begin to pray for my soul. Weird. You see, I've always known I wouldn't fit into normal molds. But I also knew I didn't need to. I learned to mold and morph myself into whatever the environment needed me to be while staying true to who I am. I've taken the opportunity to learn from all these strange situations and laugh at them instead of thinking that I have to fit perfectly in it. Partially because maybe I was an art major and I like weird things, but also partially because I feel like it's so exhausting to meet everyone's expectation all the time. You see, I believe deeply in community. I believe that in a healthy community, you do find yourself, your true self. I believe that you can search for things way beyond yourself, ask questions, heal, find out what the universe is really about. Ask God, yell at God. I also find that you have a space to try to redefine the term more when referring to trying to fit in more. What does that mean? And I'll be honest, I haven't exactly found a place where I belong in this world all the time. And I am well aware that, yeah, I'm a girl pastor in a time where the church is kind of debating whether that's an okay thing. So I know that I'm on the edge of there. And then I also know and am very well aware that I am a girl pastor in the time the church is debating whether girls should be pastors. And I'm a slightly eclectic version of a girl. But somehow I ended up here in Garden Grove. Somehow this amazing first service started, this community began to be built, and all of these crazy eclectic people began to come together. So here we are, together. So now we're in a place that we can question again, where we can be safe. We may ask questions like, where is my community? And I think everybody deserves a community to belong to. So the question becomes, why does this community need to exist? And do I fit into this community? Jesus and Paul and all of the disciples, when you read that Bible verse, they didn't fit in. They were finding community outside of the forced community. They were finding space in people's homes, on the street. They were saying that church is so much more than a building. They were saying that I may not be the perfect example of what a rabbi or someone is supposed to look like, but I have good news. And they were sharing it and they were spreading it, and people celebrated and came together and grew and loved, and healthiness and beauty was born out of that. Following Christ isn't always easy. Community is not always easy. Arguments, hurt, and even a sense of betrayal can come around, but God is a God of restoration. And sometimes in order to be restored, we have to give up a little bit and let God do the restoring. You can't have resurrection without the death part. The death is something. Because of the values and hearts of each person in the space, we are community. And every week we will be here in this resurrection to heal, to be broken, to cry, and to laugh together. You see, my life in seminary, yeah, it was hard at times, and I didn't fit in. I was told I was a letdown to female pastors all around the world because I wouldn't wear power suits. So I decided to wear a cape for a week. I was also told that my blue nail polish was evil and unnatural, but I could wear red because it's the color of Christ's blood. So I compromised and I wore purple. Because, you know, I don't think it's worth getting caught up in those discussions. I think it's important for us to realize that us as an individual and us celebrating life and living fully and wholeheartedly is what is beautiful about community. And by the time I walked out of seminary, I have a ton of new friends. People that at the beginning would follow me around and try to get me kicked out are now people I text when I don't know what a certain passage means or if I'm stressed about something, and they give me some insight because they're from a different world than me, and I need them too, and they need me. You see, we are the Messiah's misfits. We may be sure of who we are, and we might live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties, but at the same time, there's beauty in knowing that God is with us every single step of the way. And when people slam doors in our face, when people shut us down, when people hurt our feelings, when we don't feel like we belong somewhere, that's where God shows up. And that's when he gives us strength to say, God bless you. God is good. So I want you to know that there is room. And we will continue to create a space here for you to come and be. And right after the service, we're going to come together as a community, and I encourage all of you to stick around because we're going to talk about what the heart of First Service is for us, each one of us, as an individual and as a community. And I hope that you guys can join us for that.